Labor was quick to come out and condemn the coalition agreement we've just been discussing there with Barnaby Joyce. They branded it a sellout. Labor's Shadow Environment Minister and National President of the ALP is Mark Butler. Mark Butler, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran. I didn't get a vote either.
That's right. You got plenty to say about it too, though. You said yesterday the coalition agreement with the Nats to shift water policy back into the agriculture portfolio is, quote, a fundamental betrayal, particularly of South Australia. How does this agreement sell out South Australia?
Well, the Murray-Darling Basin plan was a plan that took decades to achieve, really. I mean, it has been decades for the basin states, particularly South Australia, to get what they regard as a fair deal out of the basin. And it involved a very fine balance of the economic, social and environmental interests involved in the basin. Now, Malcolm Turnbull has sort of stomped in like a bull in a china shop here and disturbed an arrangement that existed under John Howard, obviously under Prime Ministers Rudd and Gillard, and also under Prime Minister Abbott, which
is that
the implementation of the plan was overseen, very difficult plan, very complex plan, overseen by officials and scientists from the Environment Department under all of those Prime Ministers. And now, in some late-night deal to achieve the support of the National Party, Malcolm Turnbull has handed over the implementation responsibilities to Barnaby Joyce. And Barnaby has form on this. We know that when it comes to the balancing of those interests, the health of the rivers under Barnaby Joyce will always come last. This is a very dangerous decision by Malcolm Turnbull. I'd love to know whether he consulted with the basin states about it, with stakeholders about it. This is a very, very fragile but incredibly important plan, and it appears that he's sacrificed best policy, best governance for his own political ambitions.
Barnaby Joyce, you just heard, say he represents the basin. He represents a basin seat. He has the interests of the basin communities at heart. Is your concern that the implementation of the agreement is now shifting to agriculture? Does that mean the oversight by that panel of environmental scientists that you talked about, has that changed?
We don't know the detail of this. That's the problem with this. Malcolm Turnbull has cooked this up in a late-night deal with the National Party to achieve his own ambitions to become Prime Minister instead of negotiating with stakeholders, particularly the four basin states. I mean, for example, we put some legislation through as a Commonwealth Parliament only in the last few weeks to cap the water purchase arrangements, something that took weeks and months to achieve after negotiation with all of the basin states and the stakeholders, particularly the irrigation communities, to deliver them a bit more certainty in terms of their businesses, while also preserving the environmental integrity of the basin plan. That's the model you need to follow in terms of any change to arrangements under this plan. Malcolm Turnbull's come up with some overnight deal that I think is a very dangerous precedent to how he's going to run his prime ministership.
You've also criticised Malcolm Turnbull for selling out. Selling out seems to be the Labor Party catch cry in the last 24 hours on climate change. His response is to you, well, just get on with it. It doesn't matter how you cut emissions. It simply matters that they are cut. That's true, isn't it?
Absolutely. It matters that they're cut. And the problem with the direct action plan is the problem that Malcolm Turnbull highlighted 5 or 6 years ago. It just won't work. Emissions are not being cut, and all of the projections are that they will not be cut. Indeed, they will grow by up to 20% over the next 15 years because of the hopeless design of the safeguards mechanism. That is, those are the facts, and that is what Malcolm Turnbull is going to have to reacquaint himself with. I mean, yesterday, this is really important.
The emissions are being cut to the extent that the 5% cut, which you've signed on to as well, that has been achieved. That will be achieved.
Well,
direct action in place, not an ETS.
Well, I can tell you, emissions in 2020 will not be 5% below 2000 levels. The government's own projections confirm that. Projections released in the last couple of weeks by Reputex, the leading modelling agency here, show that the emissions in 2020 will be significantly higher than they were in 2000 and significantly higher than they are today. Emissions will be 20% higher, we're told, over the next 15 years because of the design of the safeguards mechanism. This is not a policy that will work. Every expert has said so.
That's the point, though, isn't it? The design of the safeguard mechanism. You can change things within a direct action policy to make it effectively a baseline and credit scheme, effectively close to an ETS. The new Prime Minister isn't ruling that out. And in fact, in the US, Barack Obama, who has tougher targets than Australia, is achieving that not with an emissions trading scheme, but with some measures effectively, direct action.
Well, no, he's put a cap on pollution levels in the electricity sector, which, like Australia's, is the biggest contributor to carbon pollution.
Direct action can occur if you have the right penalty safeguards.
Not with the current direct action. And Malcolm Turnbull has said he is not making a change to the current policy. Now, the current policy will not achieve any meaningful reductions in carbon pollution. Now, this is a really critical point. I think lots of Australians had the hope that Malcolm Turnbull returning to the Liberal Party leadership would see the party brought back to the sensible centre on climate change. change policy. And yesterday he broke their hearts by saying that he would not change Tony Abbott's approach to climate change. And we know over 5 years of bitter experience that Tony Abbott's approach to climate change was one of division and one of trying to appear to be doing something when in actual fact you were doing nothing to achieve meaningful reductions in Australia's very high levels of carbon pollution.
It's 10 to 8 on Breakfast. Our guest is the Shadow Environment Minister, Mark Butler. Malcolm Turnbull also committed to the government's post-2020 targets. They've been criticised by some as not being deep enough. But it's unclear, well, I'm unclear, I'm sure you're clear, on what Labor's position is on this. Are you pushing for deeper cuts post-2020 or are you backing those targets?
Well, what we said at the time of the release of those targets or those commitments that they'll take to Paris is that they would put Australia at the back of the pack of comparable countries. I heard George Brandis say that they would be the most ambitious cuts in the G20. Well, that's complete rubbish. They would put us right at the back of the pack, significantly short of the 2030 commitments in the US, the UK, Germany and other comparable countries. What we've said is we're looking at the modelling now that Warwick McKibben did for the government, which
was
released.
You had weeks to look at that now.
Well, we've had a look at it. We're going to talk to...
Well,
I've looked at it very carefully and we're talking to stakeholders about it. And Bill Shorten has said that we will make a very clear position available to the electorate and available to the business community and other stakeholders in due course. But I can't emphasise this enough. At the end of the day, the targets are important, but they don't mean anything if you don't have a roadmap to get there. And the point that the Grattan Institute, Reputex and so many other agencies have made over the last couple of weeks is that the direct action plan will not achieve any reductions, let alone 26%. Indeed, our emissions will increase by 20% over the next 15 years if this policy is not substantially overhauled.
Can I ask you about another policy area, the China Free Trade Agreement? Malcolm Turnbull's accused Labor of trying to frighten people over this. Last night, Bill Shorten wrote to the new Prime Minister requesting a meeting to discuss job safeguards under this agreement. What safeguards does Labor want?
Well, I think we've been pretty clear what those safeguards are about labour market testing, particularly around the IFAs, the investment arrangements that would see labour market testing suspended for projects worth over $150 million. Andrew Robb, the Trade Minister himself, has said that that would not be particularly difficult to do. I think this is really important in terms of ensuring that there is strong community confidence in this agreement. Labour has said that we understand, we recognise that our economic interests are very deeply enmeshed with China now, and they will be even more so into the future. We want a free trade agreement, but these labour market testing arrangements should be cleared up to ensure we have the maximum community confidence there. Now, Bill Shorten, as I understand, has written to Malcolm Turnbull about sitting down and trying to work through this in a bipartisan way. Tony Abbott just simply was never able to do that. Hopefully Malcolm Turnbull can sit down with Bill Shorten and we can get those sorts of arrangements put back in place so that there is that level of community confidence in the agreement.
And Mark Butler, can I just ask you finally, there was a Snap Morgan poll taken yesterday after the election of a new Prime Minister, new Liberal leader. According to that poll, Malcolm Turnbull leads Bill Shorten as better Prime Minister by 70% to 24%. Even amongst ALP supporters, Malcolm Turnbull leads Bill Shorten by 50% to 44%. You can't win an election, can you, when your own voters would rather have Malcolm Turnbull than Bill Shorten?
Well, I don't think there'll be an election this week, and I think we've all had enough experience of these things to know that there is always a bounce in the polls when these things happen and there's a new leader, and I think there will be an exaggerated bounce because of the depths of unpopularity that characterised Tony Abbott's particularly last few months as Prime Minister. So, look, we're not going to worry about polls particularly taken in the warm afterglow of a change of leader. These things always happen. We're focused on really prosecuting the message about Australia's future, and at the moment it doesn't appear that Malcolm Turnbull sees anything wrong with the path that Tony Abbott was charting for Australia.
Looking forward to Canning on the weekend. If the vote blows out even beyond the 11% margin, that's possible now with this new Prime Minister. Is that an indictment of Bill Shorten?
No, I don't think so at all. I think we're prosecuting a very strong message about the policies of this government, the Abbott government, now the Turnbull government. And still, Malcolm Turnbull has not said anything to the Australian people or to the people of Canning about any change in the policy direction Tony Abbott had charted for Australia. And it was the wrong direction on so many counts.
Mark Butler, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Mark Butler is the Shadow Environment Minister. He's also President, National President of the ALP.